George Martin, Linda Eastman, Billy Preston, Yoko Ono. If you're a Beatles fan, you recognize all those names as people who were in the band's orbit. Here's another name that doesn't get mentioned a lot, Klaus Voormann. He was a 22-year-old in Hamburg, Germany, when he first saw and met the Beatles there. Voormann later played bass for the lads as solo artists after the band broke up, for example, on John Lennon's Imagine. I first encountered the name Klaus Voormann on the cover of the Beatles album Revolver. Voormann designed and created the black and white ink and collage cover, a psychedelic clue to the music on the vinyl. Recently, I got a chance to speak with him, since Voormann, who now spends his creative energies on the visual arts, has a gallery exhibit that opened just yesterday in Los Angeles. Klaus Voormann, what was it like working on that album with the shadow of the Beatles' breakup so close by?
Well, to me, there was no shadow, because I knew each member really separately. I did not see them as a unit in those days, because it was gone. You know, the whole magic of Beatles was gone, which people didn't really realize, because I saw the inside and I could see that those people just couldn't stay together forever.
So Paul McCartney was the bass player for the Beatles for so many years. Was it liberating for you to come in as the new bass player on Imagine, or was there any psychological baggage that came with that?
I never thought of it. Plus, my bass playing is so different, and it fitted to what John wanted to express, so I never thought of it. I was feeling insecure. You might not love me anymore.
I just want to ask you one more thing about the Imagine sessions. The title track, the song Imagine, was finally co-credited to Yoko Ono last year. John Lennon said at one point before he died that at the time he took sole writing credit because, according to him, I was a bit more selfish, more macho. I sort of omitted to mention her contribution, referring to Yoko. I don't want you to kiss and tell, but what did you see of John Lennon at that time that suggested he was more selfish or more macho?
Yes, he was. And I actually think it's right that he gives credit to Yoko, because most of the things he's done in those days were really very much coming from him and Yoko. Those two were a unit, and a great unit, and it's only fair that he gives credit to Yoko.
So these were the immediate post-Beatles years when Imagine came out and was produced. I want to swing back to their roots a decade earlier in Germany, because this is kind of your story now, Klaus Voormann. You and your friends kind of caught the Beatles. You saw them when they were just an unknown Liverpool rock and roll band playing in Hamburg. Were you making music yourself when you saw them?
When I was a kid, I played a lot of classical piano. That was my musical background. But when I saw rock and roll and I heard rock and roll, I never thought that I would eventually be a bass player and play. It didn't even cross my mind.
What did you think when you saw the Beatles for the first time in Hamburg?
Well, I thought it was so amazing that those young kids, and I mean, they were completely unknown. And Georgie was just 17, and he was just lovely. You know, he was lovely, cuddly. John was great, like everybody knows, and Paul was fantastic. And Pete Best was playing the drums in those days, and Ringo wasn't around.
This was post-World War II Hamburg. I know there was a U.S. military base nearby, or an Allied military base, rebuilding Germany and Europe. Remind us, though, why Hamburg had this lively rock and roll scene in the 50s.
Well, you see, Liverpool and Hamburg, they're both seaports, and you have sailors, you have ships. So the kids in Germany, when you went, for example, to a fairground, you heard rock and roll music. So it was eventually necessary that they had rock and roll music live, and that was a great idea of this Koschmider guy, who was the boss in the Kaiserkeller and the Indra. But that's the first two clubs the Beatles played in. So he got those bands from Liverpool over, and the kids were coming and wanted to see the band.
Klaus Voormann, what do you listen to these days when you want to listen to music?
Listen, it's completely different. I can easily listen to Glenn Gould playing Bach. Or, just the other day, I got out an old cassette where you got Larry Williams and and all those rockers on it. I still like to listen to it.
Do you still play the bass yourself?
No, I don't.
Why not?
There's nobody around here which I would want to play with. You see, I'm spoiled.
I mentioned your fantastic work on the Beatles Revolver album, the artwork, the pen and ink, drawing and collage. Do you still paint? Do you still work in the visual arts?
Well, I actually still do graphic arts, and I love doing it. And I just have an exhibition which now is going to come to Los Angeles. And this is a really great event which is going around, which started in Hamburg, and now it's going to go to L.A. It's a very, very good year.
Klaus Voormann, I'm going to put you on the spot here with one final question. We know your name from the Revolver album, Concert for Bangladesh. George Harrison calls you out along with Jim Keltner. But I don't know what you look like. Can you tell us what you look like today?
Let me see. Maybe a little bit Kris Kristofferson, but I don't look as tough. I look a little more delicate, I would say. I've got gray hair. Sometimes I wear glasses, but most of the time not, only if I have to read something. And I'm thin, and I'm 176 centimeters high.
All right. So, a fairly tall man.
No, that's normal.
Well, I really appreciate you doing that because yours is a name that I've known for a long time. Now I feel like I've put an image to it. Klaus Voormann, thank you so much for being with us. It was great to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Concert for Bangladesh, Klaus Voormann was on that gig. His exhibit, it started in Hamburg, is on view this week in Los Angeles. Check out some of his art and a video of Klaus playing with John Lennon at theworld.org. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Back with you tomorrow.